Listener Production.
Coming up on the show today, our thoughts of the week, the GWS Giants and their start to the season, a brand new boss for AFLW and some decisions to be made there. Nathan Murphy announces his retirement. Charlie Cameron pleads the good bloke plea at the tribunal last night, and a big, big milestone for one of the boom youngsters of the competition. That's all coming up on Footy Talk. Nice to be with you for Wednesday's edition of Footy Talk. We do it a little bit differently on a Wednesday. We look at it from a player's point of view. We go inside and behind the news, some of the headlines and what's really going on in the world of footy. I'm Jack Heverin. Abby Holmes is in the know. She knows everyone. She's across everything and everything that's going on in the world of footy. Abs, good to see you.
Hello. It is great to be here. Great to see you. And I tell you what, I'm very, very excited about who we've got on with us today.
Look at him. Look how excited he is as well. He's joining us from the West. He's pumped.
I've never seen a man more on brand for Footy Talk. For our listeners out there, this guy is wearing the greenest of the green little T-shirts over in Perth. It is Ryan Daniels. Welcome.
I'm a big fan of the Listener app, LISTNR, and the colour green that goes behind it. So, yeah, good morning, Hev. Good morning, Abs. So pumped to be involved on what feels like, just a glance at the fixture, the best round of footy so far in terms of the matchups.
I love it. And we're going to get to that very, very shortly. A lot to talk about on the show today. Why don't we start with our thought of the week so far, Abs? You've got the new ball.
I do. So AFLW has a new GM of women's football. It is Emma Moore. So she's coming off her senior executive career at NAB. Most recently led stakeholder engagement and business strategy development execution. So quite high up there at NAB. This is exciting. I guess new philosophies, new ideas, new thoughts coming into the AFLW competition. But I guess we're all excited to see it expand and grow. But what we are reading is that it is going to take a little bit of time. They really need to hone in on attendance numbers and broadcast numbers. And that's going to be a key focus over the next few years.
I'll throw this out there as a general question to everyone. I know you've got some thoughts, Abs. Have we nailed the timing of the AFLW season yet?
No.
We tried around with a whole bunch of different things. Have we got it right?
I don't know about you, Ryan, but I am of the very firm opinion that it's in the wrong time slot. I think starting in, you know, August, crossing over with the men's is great. But what I have seen from my personal experience, everybody's different, but come AFL men's grand final, everyone switches off footy. Mm-hmm. Everyone's looking to cricket. They're looking to racing. They're looking to other sports that they've traditionally always done. I really loved the February start, crossover with the men, expand it inwards as it grows. But that's when people are craving football, and that's when we were seeing the sellouts. And I just think, you know, people are then starved since that final day in September that they're so eager to get out there and watch the women play.
They're the two issues. Well, there's two issues for me. That is one of them, the timing of it. I agree. I think it should be exactly where you just said, even slightly later than Feb. If you go earlier, though, if you do start in Feb, you get a little bit of clean air before the men's starts as well. But I definitely don't think playing past the men's AFL grand final, I don't like that. Because as you say, I think a lot of people, not just in the industry, but outside of it as well, they're like, okay, footy's done for the year. And then to keep engaging constantly for the next month on top of that, it's unlikely. The other thing is, and this is something that's already happened, so you just got to live with it, and now you've got to just deal with the repercussions of it, is the overexpansion, which I've been on about for a while. I just think they went too big too quick. If we had only still maybe 8, maybe 10 AFLW clubs, the talent would be off the charts. And I understand why every club wanted their own AFLW side. I get that. And it would have happened anyway in a longer period of time. I just think that really diluted the talent pool just for a while. We'll be fine in 10 years, maybe even 5.
Yeah.
But for the time being, they're the two biggest issues I see facing it. One of them will be fixed organically because the talent will just come. The other one, they can actually fix right now if they wanted to.
I guess the other thing too, and there's been some discussion about expansion and what it looks like next. We were made aware last year that there were some triggers in the CBA around broadcast numbers and around attendance numbers. Broadcast, I think, can be fixed by timing. I think if you get the timing right, broadcast numbers will naturally increase. The one I'm interested most in here is crowd attendances, because I'm a father of two young girls, and I quite like the fact that I can take them to games that I'm commentating on and have been involved in. I can take them to metropolitan suburban grounds, and it's close enough that they can look, smell, touch, you know, all the things that kids want. So I don't know how you manage to tick the and activate the triggers when it comes to crowd numbers when for mine at the moment AFLW is very much a metropolitan and suburban product.
Yeah, definitely. And I think, as you've both touched on, it comes with time though, doesn't it? And with AFLW in its infancy years, you want to be able to smell the barbecues and have the, what are the big play things? You can tell I'm not a blow up play.
Oh, the bouncy castles? Yes.
Bouncy castle. That's the one. I'm looking at the dads here going, help me.
We had no idea what you were talking about.
The bouncy castles. You want it. You want all of that,
yeah.
Right? But as it grows and as it gets better, we want to see the curtain raisers at Marvel and the MCG and the bigger grounds around the country. But as you said, it does take time to build. There's 18 clubs, 19 coming in with Tassie, of course, in a few years' time. But for me, February is where it's at. You come straight off the Australian Open, cricket's wrapping up, people are craving football, and I think they've really got to nail the timing of this season.
I love it. Really, really good idea from both of you, that one. Actually, Abs, last time you spoke about fixturing and all that sort of stuff, it made the news here on Footy Talk, so you're probably going to do that again and lead all the news cycles.
Let's see how we go.
Look at you just making all the trends. My thought of the week is around the Giants. Pre-season, I thought they were the best team in it, and after the first sort of block of the season, I won't be budged on that. They held off a fast finishing St Kilda last week. They are going to find it hard without Sam Taylor for a little while and Steve Cornelio, but they were a kick away from playing in a grand final last year. At the moment, I've got them as the best team in it.
Oh, yes, I'm with you on that one. And how great was it to just ride the wave of the orange tsunami towards their finals campaign last year, and then what they did, of course, losing by a point to Collingwood in that preliminary final. But I'm with you. I think we were all gritting our teeth on the weekend as, you know, we saw their numbers start to dwell and some big name players go down through injury. But Tom Green in the midfield for me, Jesse Hogan is in career best form. I'm loving watching him go about his football in that forward line. And Rhino, are you with us here as well? Because I think the hype is real around the GWS Giants.
Join us, Rhino.
Mate, I'm part of it. Let me get my floaty. I'm in the orange tsunami. Let's go for a swim. It's not just that they're the best team. I actually think it's a pretty clear gap. And I think that the five absolute A graders that they have, and we talk about Sam Taylor, the two Greens, Toby and Tom, you add in Cornelio, and then you add in Josh Kelly. So they're absolute five A grade stars. But then it's the next level as well. They've got, as you say, Hogan having a career best season or a very long time since he's had a season like this. Jack Buckley's a phenomenal defender as well. And the list trickles down. Himmelberg is quietly having a really good year as that third defender. So there's a lot of guys. Brent Daniels, I could go on and on and on. Yeah. I think they're fantastic. I think if there's probably one thing that's going to trouble them is the fact that they are an interstate club. So they have to almost be 10% better than the next best club. If you're a Victorian team. So if they're coming to grand final day and they've got to play a Collingwood or they've got to play a Carlton, they have to be 10% better. And I think they're on track to probably get there, which is pretty insane.
I think we've all fallen in love with Toby Green even more so, though. He was the bad boy, wasn't
he? What a turnaround.
Yeah. But I love how authentic he is, how real, how raw, how unfiltered he is, particularly with the media in our landscape. He's a sensational leader and he gets it done on the field, and what we're seeing off field, it's really good to see.
He's awesome. What's your thought of the week so far, Rhino?
Yeah, look, I've been thinking about this one for a while, and the thought process started around Daniel Venables and him retiring, being told basically by an AFL concussion panel that he couldn't play footy anymore, it wasn't safe. He was 20 years old at the time, coming off a premiership, top 15 draft pick, had the whole career at his feet, ready to go. If he were playing right now, you would assume he'd be in that midfield alongside Elliot Yeo, Harley Reid, Tim Kelly, and ideally putting together a really nice career. There's other players too. Brad Shepherd over here as well retired early because of concussion issues. And then yesterday we saw Nathan Murphy make that very difficult call, advised by the same panel that advised Daniel Venables. Now, we talk a lot about the players and how this impacts their future, and that's obviously going to have to be sorted out in terms of compensation, how it gets looked after. My question is the clubs. If you lose a player like a Daniel Venables, like a Nathan Murphy, like a Brad Shepherd, you cannot just replace those guys. Now, they give you the mechanism mid-season to say, or a long-term injury, you can replace him, you can come on, you can get a mid-season draftee or whatever it be to sort of plug that hole. I think there needs to be more done in that space. I think there needs to be draft compensation given. And I know, don't get me started on the draft. It's been bastardised enough that it's a mess. But I do think if there's
this
one
thing.
This is
a big thought of the week, this one, isn't it?
Well, it's a big thought. I've been thinking about this for a while.
This is heavy.
It's heavy. You've got to give them something. So if you lose a Daniel Venables, you lose a Nathan Murphy, it's probably, depending on their age, their experience, what they're worth, it might be a second round draft pick or something along those lines, but I just can't, we can't have players walking away, being told that they cannot play and the club's just, oh, too bad you've lost this 20-year-old top 15 draft pick. Too bad you've lost an All-Australian defender. Too bad you've lost a premiership defender. If we're going to take this seriously, we've got to have all these mechanisms in place to protect the players, to protect the clubs, to protect everyone so that people aren't making calls based on continuing to want them out there playing footy. It has to be clean and clear that, okay, if this guy can't play, what do we do about it? There's money for the player, there's compensation for the club. So I've been thinking about that for a long time and the Murphy thing just triggered it for me yesterday. So it's something for the AFL to think about, I think. It happens a lot in sporting leagues around the world.
It's a very, very good point. And I think now we've got a big enough sample size, right? So 10 players since 2017 have now medically retired. So Max Lynch, Paul Seedsman, Marcus Adams, Cade Collajasny, Daniel Venables, as you mentioned, Liam Picken, Nathan Murphy, Angus Brayshaw, Paddy McCartan and Brad Shepherd. Mm-hmm. There's enough evidence there now that this is something that's in the game. Unfortunately, this is something that clubs are going to experience. So I'm with you on that. There needs to be a bit more of a plan around this situation.
Yeah, at the moment, it does kind of feel a little bit, we'll just see what happens. Yeah. We'll make it up as we go. Yeah. I'm totally with you, Ryan. I think, and you too, Abs, by the end of the season, going into next season, I think there needs to be pretty clear-cut rules around what it's going to look like. And I think the other thing too is, if it is, I mean, these decisions are taken out of the players' hands and the club's hands. Anyway, they're handled by the correct medical people. But there has to be some sort of compensation for the clubs because we don't want players playing that shouldn't be. No. That's the last thing we want is guys out there who shouldn't be.
Well, even to the point with the money, I know Angus Brayshaw is trying to work it out with Melbourne now, how that looks. And Nathan Murphy signed a contract extension and now he can't play. So where does the money come from? Does it come out of the salary cap? Does it come out of somewhere else? So you've got all those things that you've got to worry about too.
Just off the back of this, I've got another thing that I want to bring up.
Have you?
Yeah, talking about the concussion situation. Yes, yes. Toby Green, his comments on 360 about previously in his career potentially hiding concussions from the football club. I'm going into bat here that over the last 5 to 10 years, the amount of education and research and study and you know, medical science that has been provided to the AFL and to football clubs and to players has gone through the roof. So the education piece is far greater now than what it was even 10 years ago. And unfortunately, we also have the evidence from players in the 80s and 90s that are still sustaining, you know, longer term effects. But I thought that was a very interesting comment, Ryan. I'm going to come to you being the news hound on this from Toby. But we certainly do not see this anymore because the amount of education that we see, the amount of emphasis that the AFL puts on the safety of the head and brain injuries, it's very clear.
I dare say we're seeing it less and less. I would hope that there's no players still doing that. And also clubs. I think if you go back 10 years, there were clubs going, are you sweet? You good? You good? Everyone's okay? And then you get back out there and the players themselves are going, no, I'm fine. I'm fine. I'm completely fine. You still see every now and then, you'll see players out on the field. You guys would notice shrugging off the doctor. No, I'm good. I'm good. I'm good. Yeah. And then the doctor now basically tells them, you are coming off. And they come off and then they do the check. So, look, I think we're better, definitely. The thing was that it was stunning that Toby admitted it. And I love the honesty because we need to hear that. That's the kind of conversation that changes things. Because if Toby Green can stand up and go, yeah, you know, I did do that and it wasn't okay. Yeah. Now the next player who goes to do it might think, oh, you know, even Toby admitted it and he's really tough and he's a star. So this is why the conversation's changing. It's people like Toby coming forward and saying that stuff. It's the issues with Murphy, with Venables, these other guys. So we're definitely getting there. If you take it from 10 years back, massive.
It just shows the growth and the development in that space, which is awesome to see.
It's been a very heavy first segment.
It has.
So let's just finish on a heavy note. We're going to change direction after the break. But Charlie Cameron last night at the Tribunal, I must admit I was following along on Twitter. That's how you follow along with Tribunal cases these days. The lottery that is the AFL Tribunal continues, and now Brisbane using character references and saying, well, Charlie's a good bloke. He does community work and he's got a good record in the past and he's a nice guy and he tips the local cafe and all that sort of stuff as a way to try and get him off.
Yeah, look, I Charlie Cameron is one of my favourite players in the AFL. Mm. On field, off field, he is a ripper. But there's a bit wrong with this.
Oh, yeah.
Isn't it? You need to look at the action in isolation, right? And the fact that you had Eddie Betts coming forward and giving a character reference. We're not disputing you being a great person and an awesome, awesome human being. But I don't think we need to see that. You know, you need to look at the incident in isolation as well. But it's quite uncanny because Charlie Cameron has actually had five fines. Three of them have been for rough conduct. So he's certainly been thereabouts in the past. He's not totally clean, Rhino.
The character reference is irrelevant. Like, how is that even still a thing? This is not a court of law. Like,
it's not a homicide case.
I tell you what, you guys, I don't know if you've ever sat in and listened to a tribunal. It is insane. Like, they treat it like it is a homicide case. The stuff they bring out, it is actually ridiculous. This is a football act. I will also say that if you're going to do something, like if you're going to go with the sling tackle, if you're going to bump high, if you're going to do anything, don't do it in the first 4 weeks because they'll penalise you. After that, it seems like you're pretty sweet. I mean, Zach Butters, I reckon he got pretty lucky too. And Cameron, that's a week minimum. It always is. I don't care if you're a good bloke. Charlie is a great bloke and he's a fantastic footballer. Mm. We want him out there. But you've got to cop a week. That's ridiculous. If that's the system... What are you going to do? Like, start getting their fourth grade teacher to come in and say, yeah, they were great. They always used to help me pick up the pencils. Like, it's just irrelevant.
It's funny you mention that about tribunals being the most boring thing. Abs, I don't, have you ever sat in on like an AFL or an AFLW tribunal?
No.
So very early on in my career, I was like, I got offered, would you like to go and cover the tribunal one night? I was like, oh yeah, that'd be awesome. 20 minutes in, I thought this is the most shit boring thing I've ever been involved in my life.
I would challenge anyone who's never done it to watch one, and you'll go, what is happening here? It is so overblown and ridiculous. It's pretty clear most of the time, but the lawyers get involved and it just goes stupid. Honestly.
We're going to change pace on the other side of this. A very, very special occasion. Ryan Daniels is very, very excited about this. We'll get to it very shortly as well. We'll take a look at what's coming up on Thursday Night Footy. Of course, if you're listening to us on Spotify, you can hit the bell to be notified when we drop a new episode. This is Footy Talk. Great to have you with us on Footy Talk. Abby Holmes, Ryan Daniels and Jack Heron. Of course, if you want to get involved, send us a message on Instagram at footytalk_pod. We'll talk to Western Bulldogs very shortly and Brody Grundy playing game number 200. But Abs, I don't know about you, but there is a level of excitement in this studio and it's coming across our screen all the way from the West. This is a big day today.
Have a look at this guy in the green t-shirt, but it is, of course, Harley Reid's 19th birthday.
Wow. What'd you get him?
This is a man, right? This is a man. His front page, his back page, his middle page, his every page of the West Australian. Ryan Daniels, what did you get him?
Well, for starters, I don't know what you guys are doing on your day off. I'm assuming it's a public holiday over there as well for Harley's birthday because no one's working here. There's a parade at about 12 that's going right down Wellington Street. It's going to be massive. Where else would you rather be? All I'm giving Harley is good vibes, and that's all he needs right now because this kid is absolutely killing it. That game on the weekend, I'm sure you caught it. I know, Hev, you and I caught the Sydney West Coast game out in Mount Barker. He was very impressive in that game too. What this guy is doing as a now 19-year-old, then 18-year-old, it's pretty stunning. The strength of the kid, the fend-offs, the broken tackles, the confidence is the thing. Like when you listen to him talk, he's very confident. When he plays, he's confident. I spoke to him last week in an interview. In the same grab, he said the word swagger four times. And that that should tell you all you need to know about Harley Reid and also the stunning fact that he is born in the year 2005, which makes us all feel ancient.
Oh, God.
Ancient.
Oh, God, yes.
What were you doing in 2005, Abs?
Oh, what I was, how old was I? 14. So I was in high school.
14?
Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah, living the dream as a high school student.
What about you, Rhino?
I was managing a McDonald's store. Thank you to McDonald's. Good sponsor of Triple M. Yes, a carousel food court. It was a very, very lucrative position and studying to do exactly this. So, yes, well done to Harley. I cannot believe he was born then. I was 22 years old. That is insane.
Absolute Come on, Dave, what madness. Were you doing in 05?
I was living in England.
Oh.
On a diet of Carlsberg Ooh. And Yorkshire puddings
oh, yes.
and watching every ball the 2005 Ashes.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I wanted,
no,
yeah.
You're living the dream.
And trust me, not in the nick that Harley Reid
no,
was in.
In all seriousness, though, like Hollywood, hallelujah, yep. whatever you want to roll with, I loved his interview post-match with Cath Lachlan. Mm. He speaks so well. But if you're Jake Waterman, you're a little bit flat, aren't you? You've just played the best game of your career, kicked six, and still all of the hype is out. Is about Harley.
Yep.
Yeah, it's tough. And just what? On Waterman, a quick note, he almost gave footy up. He had this intestinal illness last year. He spent 10 days in hospital, lost 12 kilos. He thought he was going to die at some point. So great to see him back. He had a ripper pre-season and he's just, yeah, he's playing his guts out and it's fantastic to see.
So, Rhino, off the top, you were talking about how you think this is one of the best rounds so far. It might end up being one of the best rounds of the season. I don't know, I can't help but think if you go to the other end of the spectrum, there is a fascination and a smell around Hawthorn and North Melbourne on Sunday for all of the wrong reasons. Like, it feels like to me there's going to be a really big loser out of this game.
Well, I think we've been hearing the conversation about North Melbourne and should they have tanked last year to get the pick which got to Harley Reid. It's very, very early on to be having who's going to finish last conversations. But to me, it's pretty clear that North Melbourne, Hawthorn, you could probably still throw West Coast into that conversation. Obviously, Richmond's not going well. These games do matter in the grand scheme of things. They're almost 8-point games in the negative sense. Look, I think that Hawthorn's in a real, really troubled spot. I've seen little glimpses from North Melbourne. I'm yet to see a single glimpse from Hawthorn.
Although what they produced against Collingwood a few weeks ago was pretty good. They came home strong. I reckon if there was another 40, 45 seconds, Hawthorn maybe win that game.
Yeah, but that's probably the one.
They've got problems just playing two quarters in a row at the moment,
and that's
the
thing. It's consistency, but Hawthorn also have had a lot of injuries throughout the preseason. Their back line was completely wiped out. But no, it is going to be all eyes on that one, I think, on Sunday.
Can I throw a scenario out then to both of you?
Yeah.
What if Hawthorn lose? So I think, like, North Melbourne, we kind of know where they're at. Oh. And they're not going to get too many chances to win too many games.
And it's Clarko v. Mitchell too.
Oh, but what if Hawthorn lose? Mm. What happens then?
Then I think there'll be some incredibly tough conversations happening down at Waverley. And I think there already has after what they served up with Gold Coast. I loved how open and honest Sam was to say that is not okay, what we dished up. That is far below par to what we accept of each other and ourselves. Loved that honesty, but they need to come back and they need to respond strongly this weekend.
There has to be a response. Yeah, there has to be a response. I saw the mouthguard comment, and sure enough, apparently at training this morning, the mouthguards are out at Hawthorn. They've got to go hard. They've got to go tough. They have to make a statement because while they're not there yet in terms of, you know, a final side, I think we all thought they'd be slightly better than this. And I think they probably were hoping that they'd be slightly better than what they've dished up so far. So, yeah, there is. Even this round is so great because you've even got that match up there, which is absolutely, as you said, Hev, very fascinating. I think it's the last game of the round or it's close to it. I'll be watching that one for sure. Whereas normally you'd be like, geez, 17th, 18th, are we bothering?
Yeah.
I'm watching.
Yeah, I think a lot of people will be watching to see how that pans out. Adam Uzay, first-year coach at Richmond.
Oh. Poor guy.
I don't know if you believe in bad luck, if smashing mirrors or black cats or walking under ladders and all that sort of stuff. I feel like he's done all of that. Just here is the injury list as it stands as of this morning. Bolter, Bauer, Clark, Kalina, Fawcett, Gibkiss, Season, Grimes, Hopper, Lynch, 10 weeks, Prestia, 4 weeks, Ross, 8 weeks, Short, TBC, Taranto, 8 weeks. Like, first year in charge of a new team, and that's the hand that you're dealt at the moment.
Who just did their ACL in the VFL too? Was that Juddy Clark?
Judson Clark,
yeah. Like, there comes a point in time as a senior coach where you probably just have to throw your hands up and say, what more can we do? But, Ryan, in this situation, what do you do? Is it a case of looking at your high-performance guys and kind of honing in on what they might have done differently throughout the preseason? Or?
Well, this is eerily similar to what we've seen over in the West the last couple of years. You've got this team that was a contending team, obviously in Richmond's case, a very successful one. And you've got a few aging stars that are towards the end and they're starting to get injured a lot because that's what happens when you're 30 plus in footy. And then you've got these kids who are untested and untried and they don't have a lot of high-end draft picks coming through because they were so successful. So it's very similar to the West Coast situation. One thing that is going to work in Richmond's favour right now, and having seen it at West Coast, is You're being forced to play guys who would not normally be playing. And as bad as it feels right now to be losing, Richmond fans have got a bit of credit in the bank. They can probably kick back and go, you know what, we've had a pretty good run. Let's have a look at Tom Brown. Let's have a look at Tyler Sonsi. Let's have a look at Ben Miller. Let's have a look at all of these guys and get a really clean look. They're all going to get 10 to 15 games. And then suddenly you figure out if they're an AFL standard player or not. So, yes, you do have to look at your strength and conditioning. West Coast have made significant changes in that space. You do have to look at all the areas of your footy department. But you're exposing your list in a way that would normally not happen. And I actually think that's a silver lining. If you're a Richmond fan, you're seeing every nook and cranny of the list, and normally you don't get to.
Before we finish up, shout out to Brody Grundy, who plays game number 200 this week. He's made a nice start at the Swans, third club.
Certainly has. Loving it. Loving seeing what he's producing early in the season. We've seen his journey from Collingwood to the D's and what unfolded there over the last few years. But it just shows as well, the right player in the right system with the right people around him, you can absolutely flourish.
And another milestone as well, the word trailblazer gets thrown around a lot. Now, I'm sort of looking at one at the moment in you here, Abs, but there is one who I reckon was just about the original trailblazer when it comes to women's involvement in footy.
Pumped for this. Chelsea Roffey reaches 300 games as an umpire this weekend. So a very big congratulations to Chelsea. And I just love this. You know, she is a trailblazer. She is such a role model and an inspiration for so many young boys and girls out there who might want to get involved in AFL, you know, not as a player, not as a coach, but as an umpire. Yeah, I'm just pumped to see her go about her business in game number 300.
Yeah, fantastic for Chelsea and for Brody.
Great achievement. Rhino, before we let you go, thank you for being on the show today. We just need you to be really honest for a second here. When Harley gets the birthday cake later on today, are you jumping out of it?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, as I said, my day's free. It's a public holiday, so maybe, you know, I'm lactose intolerant, but I'll do it for Harley.
Oh, my goodness. Hey, we're learning more and more about Ryan all
really
the time.
Are.
Hey, thanks for being on the show today. We appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. Enjoy the weekend.
We missed you.
We'll hear you across the weekend as well. Abs, we will hear you. We will see you. We'll just have another week of your domination. Good
thanks,
to see you.
Great to see you.
We will be back tomorrow. And by we, I mean Daisy Thomas and Heath Shaw. They are back for all of your Thursday goodness, and a very, very special guest as well, Jack Crisp, will be on Footy Talk tomorrow. We'll see you then. Listener.